The last sugya that we needed to do in terms of the crowns and whether crowns are actually essential is this Gemara in Shabbos. We'll see how fast we get through it, and then if we move on. Did you guys go farther on the Gemara? Did you continue the Gemara?
No.
So why are you telling me, did we go on the Gemara? I thought you actually got further than the Gemara, so you wanted to move on, which I understand, but you didn't... Okay. Anyways, Gemara in Shabbos says as follows. So... as we know, one of the malachot is kotev. And how many malachot are there?
39.
Good, thank you. Thank you, good Lord. Certain basic knowledge. Good, 39 av malachot.
If you
39 av malachot. Good, and one of those is kotev. Good, very good. Right? Normally, right, one is chayev after writing how many letters?
Two
letters. Good. Well,
you got to write one letter.
No.
Correct. Write one letter, not be chayef. Now that's mutter, but you're not chayef.
Question: the whole Shabbos or like?
That's a good question. It's a good question. Exactly what it is.
What if I leave my parents a note in Scrabble letters? Does that
count as writing? It's a good shayla. There are poskim who think that Scrabble is kotev because you're making meaning out of these, or at least Ramosha has this interesting distinction between regular Scrabble and travel Scrabble. Because travel Scrabble clicks in, and therefore you've been COVID, and therefore he doesn't like travel Scrabble, but he's fine with regular Scrabble. But Maker Adin, moving things closer together is fine, right? You get all these weird conversations in like major postgim of like, can I open a library book that has letters written across the side and things like that?
Yeah, like numbers on them.
Yeah. These are like old discussions and cakes. Right, cakes, happy birthday, and things like that.
So would I be able to write individual letters on separate pieces of paper and then arrange them together to make words?
So, first of all, you're not allowed to write a single letter. You're not chayev, like you don't get killed until you write two. It's right, asur.
It's not sheer.
Is it one, like, or two in total, or like I could do one and one and one?
So presumably it's two that makes meaning. Right, the two.
Oh, okay.
Right, presumably, but there are test cases, and it's very complicated. So again, what counts and moving letters closer together and words closer together is very complicated.
If someone to know them and didn't want to get killed, I could write them on individual papers.
Well, if you don't do it, get yourself magnets. There are these from magnets. There are from magnets you can get for your fridge. We have it in my fridge, right?
It's like
words that you can put together, but it's like words that someone on Shabbos might need. Like, so it's I went to the park, things like that. But also like shul, chillins, things like that. Chutzpah, I don't know, whatever things you might notes you might have to leave in a from home on Shabbos. I haven't seen it on that one. Not the one I have. I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are all these wonderful ones.
I always use Scrabble letters.
Okay, Scrabble. Fine. Good. But don't use the ones that snap into place.
Yeah. And in a window, if it rains.
Good.
In a window, if it rains in a window.
So the... Right. Now. Right. However, the Gemara notes that there is a case in which you are liable for a single letter. And that is a single letter... Correct. When is it going to have meaning? So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, if it's the last letter in a book. Right? Now, right, that was a very significant act. So if you look, Tana, Katava Orachat Vishlima Le Sefer, Arag Chudachat Vishlima Le Beged Chayav.
Does that mean the last letter of any word in a book?
So, the Gemara here is doing this, and what exactly, again, I don't want to get into Kosev and Chabah. This is a fascinating sugya, but we'll go down that rabbit hole and never get out of it. So the Gemara says, Mantana, who thinks this is true? So Amar Rava Baravuna, Rabbi Eliezer, he, Damar Achad al Harik Chayav. So first the Gemara says, maybe this is Rabbi Eliezer who thinks that, no, writing a single letter or weaving a single stitch, is liable. So the Gemara says, no, Ravashi Amar Afil Tema Rabbanan. Maybe this is even the Rabbanan L'Hashlim Shaini. Right? You're liable either for writing two letters or one which completes something. Because both of those are significant writings, right? If we want to do the lumdas here, right? The Gemara is saying, right? The Gemara's question really is, when we say you have to write two letters, is two letters a shear? Like, the amount that you need to write is two letters? Or is two letters a stand-in for saying one is liable for kotev if you did something significant, which is either quantitative or qualitative? You can either write quantitatively significant, which is two letters, or qualitatively significantly by finishing something. Right now, Chum, you look exhausted. Why are you so exhausted? Oh, I'm sorry.
Finishing a Sefer Torah.
or whatever, right? Sefer Torah, Harry Potter, I don't care.
But what if you then write two letters that have no meaning at all?
Ah, so you're still chayev, presumably, because the quantitative one. But now we get to Daniel's question, which is, what if I wrote one letter in Tveria and one in Sipori, meaning I wrote two letters, but nowhere near each other? Does that count? So now you might ask, well, it depends. If it's about quantity, yes. If it's about quality, no. And the Gemara's answer is, chayev, you're liable. The Gemara says there are two ways to be chayev, quantity or quality, but why? Because even quantity, even if you wrote them far away from each other, there is a quality to them. Why? K'tivahi ela shemuchusar kreva. It's writing, it's just...
they're far away from
you. Right, they're lacking being brought back to... The way the Gemara does it is the negative. It lacks being brought close together. Meaning, fundamentally, you're too... And how can I prove it? I can prove it from Daniel's case. He says it's very simple. I'll write them on two different ones. I'll bring them close together, which means that it is writing in potential. Right? So the Gemara is saying, either if I qualitatively finish something, I'm chayev. Or if I write two letters, which I could bring close together, they are significant because by virtue of the fact that two letters exist, they can now be used for meaning. Even if, at the moment, they are meaningless because one is hanging out in Tveri and one is in Sipori. Right, right, Nachum?
Isn't that how the...
Nachum, I'm also tired. Okay. I daven vasikin both days. I daven vasikin today. Right? And then I hit 2 hours of traffic because of a tragic accident on the highway. Right? And then I taught for 2 hours in Amudim. And then I came to teach you. Stop. Come on. I assume so. It looked, unfortunately, like a terrible motorcycle accident. And motorcycle accidents people don't normally survive from. Well, there are a lot of motorcycles, and people, the motorcycle drivers tend to be terrible because they swerve in between traffic and, like, they try to drive in your blind spot as much as humanly possible. It's really not safe. I don't suggest being a motorcycle driver in Israel. Or anywhere, but definitely in Israel. Israel already has more accidents per capita than most countries. Add that, you know. Could be. 443, I don't know how good it is, but today, bad accident.
But usually people write more than one letter or two letters, they write.
For sure, sure. But the question is, what is the minimum at which you're chayav? Oh. So the Gemara says, Vatnan, is that true? But the Mishnah says, Kadol Shnei Kotei Abayit, if you write on two walls, Val Shnei Dalpei Pinkas, Ve'ein Nagin Zeb Zeb Patur.
Is there a difference between writing in Lashon Kodesh and regular?
Probably no. The Ramah quotes from the Or HaZarua that yes, that you are not liable if you write in any language other than Lashon HaKodesh. We don't paskin that way.
Why not?
Because it's obviously wrong.
But he said it.
That's a paraphrase, by the way, of the Mishnah Berurah, which is, I know the Ramah said it, but it's obviously wrong.
How could he be so wrong then? Like,
because even smart people can be really, 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 really wrong. In that case, he's really, 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 really wrong.
Yeah, I'm wrong all the time.
Wow.
Wow is right. Okay, good. So the Gemara said, but wait a second. If you write on, right, two walls, so now can you move them together?
No.
Right, so the Gemara said, look, Hazem Chuser Maisa Dekriva, Chalom Chuser Maisa Dekriva. He said, look, there you're Potter, why? Because
it's impossible.
Yeah, thank you. Good, okay. So now, the Mishnah then says, the Gemara continues, Tanei, Giyo Zachas Chayev, if you edit one letter, you fix a letter, you Chayev. The Gemara says, how could that be? Hashta, Katavo Rachat Patur. If you write one letter, you're exempt. But if I fix one letter, Yigiyo Rachat Chayav? So Amar Rav Sheish, Rachamai, Eskin, Gonchenatlu, Legago, Shalchet, Vaso, Shnei, Zainin. So the Gemara says, here's the case. You take a chet, and you cut it in the middle, and now what does it turn into? Two Zions. Ah! Now you're liable. Rava Amar, Kigonchenatlu, Letago, Shaldalit, Vaso, Reish. Rava says it's where you take a dalit and turn it into a reish. Good. So, I don't want you to think too hard about all these sugyas.
But isn't this all chag tochot?
Good. Okay. I said, don't think. Good. So, you're right. So, the Ran here says, okay, what is the most important principle in all of Hilchos Shabbos?
Keep Shabbos.
Thanks. Thanks. The most important rule to define whether something counts as a prohibited malacha or not. Two words.
was it done in the Mishkan?
Melechet.
Melechet.
Machshavet. Right? Melechet, machshavet. How do I know those are the most important words?
Because
the Gemara says that those are the most, that's the most important principle. This is the Harim Atluyin Besara, the mountains that hang by threads of hair. Right? Is Melechet, Machshevet, Asra Torah. Right? Which is where we derive the Melachot from the Mishkan, including the rule Melech Machshevet, which is that any act on Shabbos must be intentional. Now, 90% of the time, that provides us with exemptions. The things which you're chayev for in other areas of Halacha, you're not chayev on Shabbos, because they lack sufficient intent, and on Shabbos you need extra intent. There is a few exceptions. One of them is this. The Ram says that normally chak tochot, does it count as kosev?
No.
But on Shabbos, where all we care about is your intent, if you take a chet and turn it into two zayins because you really want to have the word zaz on your page, are you chayev?
Yes,
because by virtue of the fact that you accomplished what you set out to accomplish for the purpose of Shabbos, it's called kosev. That's what the Ram says. Okay? It's one of the few times where Shabbos, where Melech Machshevet is lechiyuv. Okay? By the way, if anyone realized, right, that is what happens if you divide a chet, right? You don't just get two zayins, you get a word. Right? It's zaz.
Zaz is a word.
Zaz means to move. Zaz. Right? Zaz, well.
Is that modern Hebrew?
Modern and biblical. Zaz. Lazuz, to move. Right? Zaz. Right? Or zuz is move. If you hear an Israeli screaming at you, zuz, that means move.
Zuz also means money.
It also means in Aramaic. In Aramaic. In Aramaic. But in Hebrew, if you hear an Israeli screaming at you, zuz, he means move. Get out of the way. And trust me, if you haven't heard it yet, you will. You will. Right? You will. You will. And if you drive in Israel, you will hear it all the time. If you open your windows. Right? And they open their windows. You know, and if you sort of see their mouth going like, right, and I don't know, a finger up, probably they're screaming, Zuz, right? Okay? Just how it works. Fine. So now the Gemara says, so then the Gemara says, Tana, niskavein lichlov os achas v'alo biyado shtayim. What if you intended to write one letter, but you got two? Meaning, you intended to write a chet. I don't know, but it came out as two zayins. So then, the Gemara says, chayim. The Gemara says, how could you say chayev? That's not putter. Right? Obviously you're putter. Why should it be putter? Because you didn't intend. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. So the Gemara says, and this is the phrase I want to, I want you to forget everything. Don't think too much about it. Because like I said, this is a whole sugyas, fascinating sugyas, but I want to focus just on the last line. The Gemara says, lo kasha. Ha dibai ziyune. Ha dlo bai ziyune. It depends. Does it need zions on the top? Meaning, The crowns,
mm-hmm.
Or not.
What?
So Rashi says, what does this mean? Sha'adayin tzrichin roshe hazaynin lezaynan betagin shalen sha'adayin tzrichot shlosha ziyunin yaminu smolo malak namrim menachot. It's talking about a chet. You meant to write a chet, right? You wrote two zayins. When are you chayev? He says, it depends. Did you write the crowns on top of the zayin? Because it's one of the Shatnez Getz letters, remember? Or not. If you wrote the crowns, then you are?
Chayev.
You didn't write the crowns, then you are?
Pater.
So now if you just look at this Gemara and I asked you, are the crowns essential to the letter? Yes or no?
Yes.
So you would look at this Gemara and say, yes, why?
Because it's not considered a letter without.
Because the question here isn't about Stam. The question here is about Shabbos. It's about Kosev. The Gemara says that if you meant to write the crowns, and you didn't, sorry, if you haven't written the crowns, then it's not a letter.
Maybe because on Shabbos you're trying to make it the most hardest possible way to get into the Malach.
Good!
Right?
And
in the Torah, it's the opposite.
Baruch Hashem. And Daniel gets the two possibilities here, right? One possibility is that, what do we learn from this Gemara? Yes, we thought that the majority pushed towards in the direction that the crowns weren't essential. You're wrong, because you see on Shabbos that without the crowns it doesn't count as a letter. Possibility one. Possibility two is, just like earlier in the Gemara, we saw that in certain times, on Shabbos specifically, you're right, Shabbos has different rules, right? Because Melechet Machshevet Asra Torah, intention really matters. So you might say, look, without the crowns, it's still a letter. But for Shabbos, where you're not liable until what?
Until the right.
What you meant to do happened, then
the crowns
even though it's a Zion, it's not the Zion you wanted to write. And therefore,
Patur.
Those are the two possibilities. Good. You guys, I want to point out what just happened here. I want to point out what just happened and then say it. I want to point out what just happened was, you figure out every position in the Rishonim. Now you should realize from now on, you are capable of doing this. Right, the goal by the end of the year, as we used to say in Rochonsin Shir, by the end of learning, the goal is that every basic sheet in Rishonim, even if you don't know who's going to say what, simply by reading the Gemara carefully and thinking carefully, you should be able to anticipate every possibility, at least in its basic form. 90% of the time, that should be true. And I want to point out, you just did it. Good, now continue. Good. Good, what do you want to say?
So, hello? Really, on Shabbos, they're trying to be more strict, and you have to have an intent. But then at the end, it ends up coming out more lenient.
Because what did I say? Because Melech Mashevet cuts both ways. Usually it's a leniency, sometimes it's a stringency, meaning it's all about intent. So sometimes that means if you did something which is objectively important, but not what you meant to do, you get out of it. Sometimes it means that what? The opposite. That even though in other areas of halacha this is not going to count, since this is clearly what you wanted to do, it is chayav. Usually it means the more lenient one, but sometimes it's more stringent. So, who wants to read? These two positions are outlined by the Or Zeruah and the Ritva. That's all I
get. Did you page read this? I don't have.
So follow with me. Right, who wants to read the Or Zeruah? Nachum. It'll keep you awake. Who is the Or Zeruah? Someone remember? Anyone remember? We've seen him before. He's called the Or Zeruah because he was inspired by Akiva. Good, very good. You remember the story. Yaakov. You always remember the story. He lived in Germany.
Darn it, come on, with the Or, with the light, with the...
Eliyahu. Yeah, yeah, you all remember the story. Good, what was his name? What?
Eliyahu?
Mordechai.
Yitzchak of Vienna.
Yitzchak of Vienna.
See, the rabbi of my parents' shul once said that the rule is as follows. A good story in a drasha, he can repeat once every 10 years. A good joke, once a year, and a good Dvar Torah, twice in the same speech. Right? There is much truth to this, because you all remembered the story. You all thought his name was Akiva, because you remembered the weird story of his dream and his inspiration to Akiva. But the fact that his name was Yitzchak and that he was from...
Vienna,
right? That Bechlal, nobody cares about.
That is
right?
Actually very, like, what's it called? My cousin writes Dvar Torah every week, but... You've been doing it for several years, so you've used them. So whenever we get up to the story part, we all like, oh, now I remember this one.
Look, I have a... It's, there was a certain rabbi, I won't say where he was rabbi, because I'm sure he doesn't want what I'm about to say recorded, who said that he has a particular community where much of the audience is not repeated year to year, but much of it is, okay? It's a rotating community. So therefore, he doesn't feel so bad giving the same shiur every year. Okay, he gives the same shiur every year. He said what frustrates him is that he comes to the shiur and he gives the same shiur every year, and the same people show up and
they complain.
No, they don't remember at all. They only remember it in the back of their mind, such that when there's a problem in the shiur, they remember that there was a question. They ask the question. They're like, I don't know why this question came to mind, but I think that this is a problem here. And he's like, in his head, he's like, of course, because you were here when I gave it last year. You don't remember being here, you don't remember anything, but you remember vaguely, but you don't remember enough what I actually said.
Jews. We remember.
No, human beings. Okay. Human beings. Right? What's the key? If you want to remember things, what do you need to do?
Oil. Oil is good for the cover.
Teach. You got to teach.
Oil.
You got to teach. Things that you teach, you remember something like 8 times better than things that you've just learned.
To do chazara.
Chazara is good too, but teaching is great. Okay? Good. Nachum, teach everybody the Or Zeruah so thou shalt never forget it. Good.
Lacking in one Zion, I guess it's referring to
the crown, yeah. Why are crowns referred to as Zions?
Because they look like
they have crowns.
This wasn't like very complicated, because they looked like little Zions. Okay?
Nami Yisua is also puzzled. Amar Per Bonnet. like we learned in the Parakha Barnet, Tana Niskevan Lekhtov Osachas, that if you had the Kavana to write one letter, it'll be a Dosh Kaim, and you accidentally wrote two, Chaya, but Tana, when a question, you're Kvater, you're Kvater. Ha-Dibayiz Zayone, Ha-Dibayiz Zayone. Here is where you wrote it with, there where you're Chaya, Kvater is where you, here is where you, there
you still need to have Zions, or you don't need to have Zions? Good. Halamata, this is the key. Right, meaning full halacha with the crowns and everything. Good, so the Orzorot takes everything that we saw last week and he says, it is not true. You thought the crowns were not essential?
They
are. Right? They weren't definitional? Right? Remember, we had last week we said it's either crowns could be non-essential, essential but not definitional, right? Or definitional. We said it's very unlikely that they're definitional. That goes against everything we know, except the Orzorot says
they are.
They're definitional. Now, if they're definitional, where else might you expect this to show up?
Yes.
The obligation, we've said this 100 times. How would you know if something's definitional? If it appears not only in Stam, but in?
Other
areas. Classic case that we saw 100 times?
Get!
Look at number 11. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avram, Hayamachek, Lazat Ziyun, Beget, Kimova Zever Torah. Oh, look, there are indeed Shita who think that you need crowns even in the Get. Why? Vayomer, Shekolo, Chainim, Ziyana, Betagin, Shashatin, is Gets, Kidin, Zever Torah, Aina, Kuriot. And he says, because without the crowns, it is not a get. And he says, where does he get this raya from? What's his proof? The Gemara in Shabbos. Kahi deshili habonet. This is, I'm not trying to trick you. From the Gemara we just looked at.
But then what does he do with the Gemara in Menachah?
They used to write like the Sefer Torah. Now
so now the Orzarua himself says it's wrong, right? He says it's wrong, right? Because the Orzarua himself doesn't like this, right? This was the Orzarua, right, quoting. Right in the middle, he says it's not true. He says why? Ve'ena raya de'ikol meir de'mayir because of Sefer Torah. Maybe he's talking about, maybe what's the Gemara talking about? Writing not a regular letter, but writing
Torah.
A Sefer Torah. Maybe it is definitional, right? You have different possibilities. The most extreme possibility is that it's definitional to letters always. Who's that? The Riva. And therefore, even in a get, you need crowns. There was that that's obviously wrong. Right? But he says maybe it is definitional or essential for letters in a Sefer Torah. So at least if you're writing a Sefer Torah, where suddenly contextually the letter is not a good letter without the crowns, so then on Shabbos you will be Pater. That is the Orzarua's own take.
So
right?
He disagrees with Rashi then what the Gemara on Shabbos is talking
correct.
About.
Correct. Correct. Rashi thinks it's just about writing.
This needs a crown because it's
correct.
Strong.
Exactly. Bidiyut. Right? So you have the extreme. The Riva says that letters always need. Right? And then you have the Orzoro, which is slightly less extreme, which is when you're writing Stam, then the crowns are essential and maybe even definitional. Right? And all the way at the other extreme, you had the Rambam, who says that even by Stam, they're not essential. But now we come back to the last sheet that we need to see here, which is, wait a second. If the crowns are never essential or definitional, even by Stam, then why in God's name am I exempt if on Shabbos I left off the crowns? Answer. You said it before. Answer. Melechat Machshevet. That on Shabbos, you need to do what you intended to do. And if you intended to write crowns, then then, without writing crowns, you didn't do what you intended to do, and therefore you're exempt. Who says that? There's only one person left on the page. What?
The Ritva.
The Ritva, thank you. The Ritva, very quickly. He look just look at the last two lines. I won't make you read the whole thing. He says, "Va'nachon." The true interpretation is "Demayri kinshnit gavein lechtov ezesh deotiot shi'al biyado va'ayibedaito lezainan va'otam shezichem lezainan." You meant to write crowns on letters that needed crowns. V'chevan shalakachnit gavein. Since that's what you intended to do, kolzman shelo zinam patur. Then if you didn't do it, you're patur, because that's how Shabbos works. Good. Those are our possibilities. From this Gemara, either we learn that the crowns are totally not essential, this is unique Shabbos halacha, Ritva. We learn that it's totally essential to all letters, always, everywhere, which is the Riva who needs crowns even by get. Or, if you're writing a Sefer Torah, it is essential, which is the Orza Rua himself.
Or Tfilin.
Those are the
Tfilin
or I mean, stop. Yeah, yeah. Good. That is the end of Tagen. Okay, good short point I want to make very quickly, is what does a chet look like in Sefer Torah? I apologize to all people who are recording, who are trying to listen on recording. It is a machloket. Fundamentally, there are more than two positions, but there are two main positions. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it is the two crowns, the two zions attached by the crown. That is that one. According to Rashi, it looks like
the flatter one.
We follow Rabbeinu,
right? So we follow Rabbeinu Tam, but the Prima Gadim says you're supposed to do both, which is why ours look like, right, we try to do both, which is the two chets with a little bit of that little crowny thing at the end, right? That's what the Prima Gadim thinks you should do, right? It's two zions, but don't forget that little crown on the left-hand side. See it?
Huh?
Right, you see that little...
He
combines them. He says, try to be Yotze Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, so do that, okay? If you want more on different letters, then take Sefers, okay? Good.
Why don't we just look at like really old horoscopes?
Because there are different, right? There are different menagim, and the ones, as we saw, the old ones look nothing like the ones that you're writing, right?
Yeah.
Why that's legitimate, don't ask me. Just don't ask me. I don't know. I don't know. This is beyond me. Okay. Okay, guys. Choices here. Choices. Do you want me just to read through the weird agadotas with you about the letters, or do you want me to read through some of the basic halachos that we're not going to get into, but the reading of the Gemara is a bit hard, and then lead up to the halachic sugya that we're going to do tomorrow? What do you want to do?
Basic.
Okay, good. So go to Lamed Amud Aleph. Go to the Tana Rabbanan, which is where we left off, if you remember. Right? The last thing we had done in halachic sugyas there was Male Alav Akatuv Ki Luktavo. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Here, right? Remember the last thing we had done was that if you correct a letter in the Torah, it's as if you wrote it?
Yeah.
Remember, we spent plenty of time on this. Good. So now, Sofrim, pay attention to the rest of the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Ose Adam Yiriya, Mibat Shalosh Dapin, Ve'at Bat Shmonah Dapin. Your page should be between 3 and 8 columns long. Okay? Meaning, every page in a Sefer Torah, every piece of cloth, should fit between 3 and 8 columns of text. Columns. Between 3 and 8. Big. And 3 would be small. It should be between 3 and 8. Okay? Why? Right, and the Gemara says, "Pachod mikain v'yeter kain lo yaseh." No more, no less. Rashi says, "Why? Shetafram achiburei yiriot yafin ba'k she'ein behen yoter midai. Rochlo yaseh yiriot k'tarot shluyu atfarim mikorvin yoter midai v'larochot shlarchikon yoter midai." The reason is, if it's too close, then what? There's too much stitching. It just looks bad. Right? So much stitching. And if they're too far, what's the problem?
Not enough
stitching, right? It won't be stable, right? So it's either practical. I want to make maybe one meta point here, which is that many of these halachot, the Rishonim understand as a part of a general rule in life, which is we have a general principle in all of Torah that what are you supposed to do with mitzvot?
Learn them.
And keep them. And how are you supposed to do them in the most beautiful way possible? What do we call that? Hidur mitzvah. One is one of the examples that the Gemara gives.
Etrog.
Yes, Etrog. What is one of the examples given in the Gemara?
Ah, Torah.
Thank you. Shiva Sefer Torah. Yes, I'm glad you know that one of the examples is Etrog. But the Gemara in Shabbos Duf Kavlam Gimel Medbeis, the Kavlam Gimel says, yes, I'm glad, I really am. I'm not even sarcastic. I'm glad you know Esrog, but you should have known that the relevant example for right now was not just Esrog. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you're saying Esrog because it's coming up, which is probably why you were saying it, to be fair, right? But one of the other examples in the Gemara is Sefer Torah Na'eh. Sefer Torah Na'eh. That you should make a Sefer Torah Na'eh. Good.
Yet it has to be in black ink on a certain color parchment.
All those things. And I think just in general, all these are... And this is... Okay, I'll say this very... I don't... If you want, I can prove this to you later, but a very compelling argument, and I'm cutting out some of the lamdos, but that Rishaul Yisraeli makes in the introduction to the first volume of his Sefer Chavot Binyamin. You're all like, why do you know that? I know that because someone donated a Chavot Binyamin to my shul. There aren't so many books in my shul. I picked it up, and I saw that the introduction is... In lieu of an introduction, I'm going to write about the mitzvah of Ktivat Sefer Torah. And in that, I'm like, hey, I should read this, because why not? And this was like last week, right? So he writes in his introduction that there are certain mitzvot where the chiyuv of hidur mitzvah is not just like a nice thing to do, but is actually becomes integrated into the mitzvah itself. One of them is Esrog. Why? Because the Torah calls it a hadar, and therefore beauty is not just additional, it's definitional. He argues that another instance in halacha where the obligation of hidur mitzvah is not just nice thing to do, but is definitional and affects the actual basic halacha is the Sefer Torah. His proof is that the Gemara calls it hitna'eh lefanav bim mitzvot, right? Sorry, it says that you should have a sefer Torah na'eh, and Rashi in his formulation of hidur mitzvah calls it hitna'eh lefanav bim mitzvot, and he uses that key word. So he says, you see that sefer Torah is central, just like hadar is definitional to Esrog, it must be beautiful, being na'eh is definitional sefer Torah, and that's why the halachot of hidur by sefer Torah are not just a nice thing to do, but they actually define the very way that we write for it to be kosher. So I think that basic idea is true. I can prove it more later, but I think that basic idea is true, and I think that is like the conceptual framework for you to understand all of these halachot, which is that these things that seem just practical or aesthetic by Sefer Torah are ma'akev, because making a nice Sefer Torah is definitional, right? The obligation to beautify the Sefer Torah integrates into the very obligation to write the Torah. Good. With that in mind, so one of those is make sure that there isn't too much stitching and not too few stitching such that it'll make the Sefer Torah weak. So, v'lo yarbe b'dapin, b'vnei shenira ki gered. He said, furthermore, why can't you have, don't have too many pages?
Like an igeret.
Right? He says, part of the problem isn't just there'll be too much stitching, it's that it'll look like an igeret. Right? If it's too much stitching, it looks like, what's an igeret?
No. A letter.
Good, a letter. So, Nachum, were you at right? Broyd's shear last year on what an egeret really is?
No.
Okay, good. So,
a tin, no?
I'll show you. What this means is the following, right? You know how we fold our Megillahs so we read a key egeret? Oh, I don't have it. Someone Google Broyd Megillah egeret. Okay? Try to find it.
You need to open it up like an egeret.
Right, so one halacha by Megillah that is supposed to be written like an egeret, like a letter. A Sefer Torah cannot be written like an Igeret. The problem is if you write it, right, too crunched up and you see stitching everywhere, then it looks not like a scroll, but
an
Igeret. What is an Igeret?
I got it.
Good. What? Can you give it to
me? Do you get it?
Broid. You didn't write broid right there, so let's get it. Broid. I'll see if I can get it, and I can get this picture and explain to you. He has this very fair argument that he found someone showed him something from the Emory Library that made him understand what it means. Igeret. Here we go. So,
in Reus,
here we go. this is what it means. This is what it looks like, right? He found a Megillah which was written like this.
You might want to look at it.
No, what happened? Where'd it go? There we go.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Got it? Pass that around. Like, you find a Megillah written like that. That's probably what Engarret means. It doesn't mean like we do, like it folded over. It means that it's stitched, and that it's stitched so that it folds back to back like an accordion. Wow. Right? So it can be folded up like this.
Yeah,
right?
That's how you fold a Megillah, no?
Yes, but that's how it's sewed.
That's weird.
That's how it's sewed. Not folded, it's sewed like that. So the problem is if you sew it every three, it looks like it's going to be like that.
Ah.
Right? It is cool, right? Okay, good. I'm convinced that he's correct. Okay, good. Continuing. He says the real problem with big ones is that, not just, right? Don't put too many columns on one page, because then your eyes will go like this. Right? Right? Too much writing, don't do it. What you should do is make each column about the size, right? Right? A certain length, the size of the mishpachotechem, times three. Right? Mishpachotechem, shlosha pamim. Every column is supposed to be approximately the size of the word, mishpachotechem, three times. Right? That should be, right? So don't have too many columns on a page. Don't make columns too big. Right? Don't have too much stitching. Don't have too few stitching. Don't have too big columns. Don't have too small columns. Right? Again, the software's guys, you'll get into the details. But I think the general principle here is, right? Make it readable. Beautiful, etc. Nizdam lalo yiriyah batesha dapim. What if you have one which is nine, right? Right. So now you got to divide it. What should you do?
Four and five.
Good. Lo yachlok shalosh lakan v'sheish lakan. Don't do three and six. Try to make it as much as possible. Right. Equi size, because that's nice. We know this, right? You don't want things which are grossly. Disproportionate. Just make it as close as possible. Ella arba lakan v'chamesh lakan. B'medvar mamurim. When is this true? B'tchilat ha'sefer. B'sof ha'sefer avil pasuk echad afil daf echad pasuk echad. Right. But this is only the beginning of a book. But at the end, you have one pasuk left. So fine. One pasuk, one page. That's fine. Afil pasuk echad afil daf echad. The Gemara said pasuk echad. Really, one pasuk? Sakadaitech. Ella ema pasuk echad bidaf echad. It doesn't mean one. Like, it doesn't mean like the end of the sefer Torah. You have a little bit of flimsy thing. It means one daf, even with one pasuk on it, right? Not, you don't cut it, right, after the pasuk and let it flap, right? But even if you have to at the end, you can have one pasuk on one daf. That's fine. That's fine. Shir gilyon milamata tefach. At the bottom of the Sefer Torah, how much empty space do you have?
One tefach.
Good. Milamala. How much above? Safras, guys? Shalosh etzbot. Good, you've already learned your safras. Ubein daf l'daf, between each page, what do you have? Kimlo revach rochav shtei etzbaot. Right? Two fingers, good. Ubechumashin, if you have a chumash, what's a chumash in the Gemara?
One
of the chumashim written beklafu dio. I mean, not what we have as a chumash, but right. So then, what's the halacha? Milamata shalosh eshbot, milamala shtei eshbot. Three fingers on the bottom, two fingers on top. Ubein daf ledaf kamlo revach rochav godel. And between thumb. Good. Ubein shita leshita, between lines kamlo shita. You should have right double spaced. The Sefer Torah should be double spaced. Right, right, double right line blank line blank. Between letters, between words, the size of a yud. Of a yud. Ot ktana. Vein ot la ot. How much space between letters?
A hair.
Good. Kamlo chodasara. Is this because you read this Gemara or because you're doing safras?
Because I've learned stuff like this before.
Good. Okay, good. Al yamad adam ektav lo mipnei revach shalmata lo mipnei revach shalmata ve lo mipnei revach shebein shita la shita ve lo mipnei revach shebein parsha la parsha. Don't squish. Right? Don't squish the letters for any of these reasons, right? Don't make them too small to fit in the space, not above, not below, not between letters, etc. Nizdam lo teva bat chamisha otiyot. If you have a word that has five, right? You have a word that's five letters. Lo yiftov shtayim betoch hadaf v'shalosh chutz ladaf. Don't write two within the column and three in the margin. Ela, shalosh betoch hadaf v'shtayim chutz ladaf. Three in the margin, and you can have two hanging in the margin. Nizdam lo teva bat shtei otiyot. If you have a two-word letter and you're at the end of a row, what should you do? Lo yizurken levena dapin. Don't write in the margin. What should you do? El chozer b'kotev b'tchilat hashita. Write it on the next line, people. Right? Now, what we're going to pick up on tomorrow is this next halacha, which is hatoeh b'shem. If you make a mistake, in God's name, gorer et machekata v'toled machegarar, scrape it out and hang it. Right. So this is where we want to pick up tomorrow: is these halachas of hanging, meaning hanging in the upper margin, not in the margin, but in the between letter, between lines. This is the halacha I want to deal with tomorrow: is tolin, right? Meaning scrape this and write the new one above it in the empty space. Correct. So this is what I want to deal with: is this halacha of tole? Mashigar kodei v'shem amakom agrar diber bihuda. Well, you'll see what exactly this is, right? Is meaning if you, anyways, what we're gonna do tomorrow? What I want to do is this question of tolin. The mistakes you can have is like you missed a word, so now you have to go back. Right, go back and deal this halacha, and this is going to get us into the halacha that you've asked me about of kesidron, right, of writing in order, which is a halacha only in, not in Sefer Torah, either in Tefillin, Mezuzah, both, or one or the other, which we'll get to, and we're going to try to do the basics, very basics of that. So yeah, but read the next few lines, and then I'll give you makara sheets, okay? But that brings you up to this point. Shkoyach.